And so this morning, I want to jump into a message. And the message title today is called Walk Slowly. This is something that's been on my heart for quite a while now. And I've been really walking through this message in my heart and in my mind for quite some time. And just praying about the right opportunity to share it. And it just felt like now was the time to share a little bit of this message. Some of it might be because as I'm getting a little older, I'm realizing how much time is of value and how much we spend time with other people, how valuable that is when we spend time with people. Time is one of the greatest commodities that we have. And again, I think it's partially getting to know God more as I'm journeying in my own faith. Some of it's, I'm getting older. In fact, I was reminded that about a month ago here at the Millbrook campus, one of our pastors was walking around with two people, just showing them the campus, and they were meeting and wanted to see the building. And I came walking out of my office. And as I came walking out of my office, they stopped me, and our pastor said, "Hey, this is our lead pastor." And both these two guests looked at me and said, "That guy is too young. He's too young to lead a church like this." And without missing a beat, the pastor looked at them and said, "Oh, no, he's pushing 50. And at first I was offended by that statement. And so I realized that that's actually true. Like, I'm actually pushing 50. I'm now in the category of life where I'm actually pushing 50 years old. And I remember years ago thinking that was so long and far away. But here I am, pushing 50, as one of our dear pastors said accurately. And I think that the older that I'm getting and the longer that I'm in ministry, I realize how much time spent with people is of so much value. And we live in a culture, right? We live in a culture and a world where we can have everything at any time. We can jump online and connect to anybody around the world at any given moment in just a few seconds. I can order things online and literally have it delivered to my house today if I wanted. If not today, then within 2 days. We are living in such a now me-centered culture, and everything is so fast-paced. We're just running at such a fast pace. And we're seeing this translate, honestly, post-COVID in church and in church culture. And what I mean by that is churches across the country and literally even around the world in many places have experienced a decline in in-person church attendance post-COVID. Now, for Crossroads, we have experienced a decline in in-person post-COVID, but we've seen an increase in overall connection because of our online campus. So it's one of those weird things where in-person is less, but the overall reach is greater. And what that really is saying, though, is that people have opted that Sunday morning, which historically has been time for church, is now time for other things. And COVID had a lot to do with that. Things were closed, and then people didn't want to come out and be around large groups, and so we get all that. But it's just an example of how time and our pace of life has now impacted us coming to church. And really my concern for this, and if I could just speak from my heart about the concern of this, is maybe not so much of my generation, so I'm a Gen Xer, not so much of my generation, but what about my kids' generation and their kids' generation? In other words, what am I teaching and what are we showing our children? What are we showing the millennials? What are we showing the Gen Zers? What are we showing the next generations of the value of being in community with God's people in church? There's been often said of a non-generation, a generation called the nuns or the nons. And this is a generation that is raised by non-Christians. And now we're not there yet in America, but I would venture to say that if we're not careful in the next generation or two, this will absolutely be our country, to where the degree that we lead our families in a Christian lifestyle, historically that we would know as coming to church and being in community and doing devotions together and praying together, reading the Bible together, that is slowly starting to be replaced mainly due to time and effort and energy with other things. And so we might be increasing our time with our families, but we're decreasing the value of church, the ecclesia, the church, the body of Christ. And so I say that in conjunction with this message called Walk Slowly, because I think that we have to slow down a little bit. I think that many of us would do very well at just slowing down just a little bit. Think about your lifestyle. Think about all of our lifestyle. We go to work, we go to school, we have sports, we have hobbies, we have careers. Then at the weekend, we got yard work and house projects. I mean, listen, I came right back from from Mexico to a foster baby, to yard work, to working on cars for 2 days, to preparing all this stuff, to getting ready to go again. And listen, it is so busy. And that time that we spend with each other, the time we spend with God's people and with God, really does matter. And I think that we need to slow down a little bit. And what I think is going to happen, and I'm already see happening, is that the pace of life that we have for ourselves, we're also pushing spiritually onto our relationship with God as well. So we're always in a rush. We're always in a hurry. Church for many people is an afterthought or just something we do if we don't have something better to do. And so then we treat God similar, that we don't really spend the time walking with God like we should unless we really need him or unless we're in trouble. And then we could say the same thing about living in community with other people and then even with ourselves. And so this morning, I want to break this down in three ways. I want to break it down of what does it look to walk slowly with God? What does it look to walk slowly with other people? And what does it look like to walk slowly with ourselves? And this is not going to be the first time that you hear this or hear this kind of message. I think that our church and our community, not just Crossroads, but the church, we need to understand something about the pace of God. One of the things that I love most about Jesus is that he was never in a hurry. You rarely see Jesus rushing. The only time I can point to in the New Testament and the Gospels where Jesus is in a hurry is when he was trying to get the disciples into the boat to get to the other side. And he says, come on, hurry up, get into the boat and go. But other than that, when Jesus is around people and walking through crowds, you don't ever see him just rushing from point A to point B. You see him walking and stopping in the middle of the crowd. And that might seem trivial to you, or it might not seem like a big deal, but to me personally, for me, that is such a massive, massive deal, because not only did Jesus stop in the Gospels for anybody in the crowd that was calling to him, but he stopped for me, and he stopped for you. And I think that we have to remember that Jesus, the creator of the universe that can do anything and be anywhere and do anything he wants to do, chose to stop for me and for you and for anybody who's called and reached out to him. And so with that, I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 56. In Luke chapter 8, the reason why I got drawn to this passage is this is Jesus, and he's walking, and the crowd is already waiting for him. So there's a massive crowd waiting for Jesus. And Jesus is walking and navigating through the crowd, and he has two dynamic interactions. One is with somebody called Jairus, who is a ruler of a synagogue, and then there is a unnamed woman who has an issue of bleeding that she's had for 12 years. And so you got Jairus, a ruler of a synagogue. You have a woman with issue of bleeding who in that culture would have been considered unclean and an outcast. She's not even named. And you got these two polar opposite of the social economic standards. And you got Jesus right in the middle walking through a crowd. And I want you to hear this story unfold. In verse 40, it says, now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. So let's stop there for a moment. Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, only daughter, 12 years old, knowing that Jesus, hearing the stories, hearing the miracles, comes running, falls before him, implores Jesus to come to his house to heal his daughter, and Jesus goes. But here's where the story gets really interesting. As Jesus went, the crowd's pressing around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all of her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. Aren't you glad that doctors and people don't have the final say, but Jesus has the final say. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds around you and are pressing on you. But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling before him, declaring in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So this is an amazing passage of scripture. Jairus comes, my daughter's dying. Jesus, please come to my house. Jesus, okay, let's go to your house. Starts walking, people are pressing all around him, bumping into him. This woman hears that it's Jesus, comes up on her hands and knees, grabs the fringe of his garment, believes in her heart that if she just touches him, she's healed. She touches him, she's healed. Jesus sees her, notices her, says that she's been healed, so go in peace. And you can imagine, like, it's an amazing miracle, and the crowd is all around. It's a good day. Jesus is going to heal a 12-year-old girl. Jesus just healed this woman with issue of bleeding. However, look at verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe. She will be made well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. All were weeping and all were mourning, but he said, "Don't weep. She's not dead. She's just sleeping." And they laughed at him. Can you imagine that? They've invited Jesus to come heal the daughter. She died in the meantime. Jesus still goes to the house and says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they kind of just laugh at him. They laugh at Jesus. I wonder, you know, when I read that passage, I wonder how often do we maybe laugh at the notion that Jesus can do a miracle in our life? I wonder how often we not laugh out loud, but we in our heart we say it's too late. Like you're too late. The dream's already gone. It's too late. The marriage is already over. It's too late. The doctor already gave us the bad report. It's too late. I already lost my job. It's too late. My kids are already out of the house and running away. I wonder how often we treat Jesus similarly to the people of this house where Jesus comes to do a miracle and we say, you're too late. You missed it. The dream is dead. The opportunity's gone. It's not going to come back. I'm too far gone. They laughed at him. But taking her by the hand, he said, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given to her to eat. And her parents were amazed. I love this passage of scripture so much. To me, this passage of scripture shows the Jesus that I serve. The Jesus that I serve has no problem going into the middle of the crowd and stopping for anybody that reaches out to him, whether that's a ruler, somebody high up in society, or whether that's some woman who is on her hands and knees in the dirt, just reaching through the crowd to touch Jesus one time. And he stops for all of us. But even after he stops, I wonder how often we just look and say, "I don't know. I don't know, God, if you can do what I need you to do." This is where walking slowly really matters. The first thing I want to talk about here for the next few minutes is to walk slowly with God. What does it look like in our life to model what Jesus does? I think we would do very well to model the pace of Jesus, to model what Jesus is showing us here in this passage, that Jesus wasn't in a rush. He definitely had a place. He was going from some place to another place. He was on a trek, but he stopped. And he was paying attention to what the Holy Spirit was leading him. So the Holy Spirit leads Jairus to him and his daughter. Holy Spirit led this woman to him and he stopped and spent time with them. Walk slowly with God. Again, let's talk about our pace. I wonder how often our pace, we are running in random different directions than the direction that God wants us to go. Or are running so far ahead of the pace of God that we're missing the opportunities that God has for us right now today. Or we're running so far behind that we can't even imagine getting to where God wants us to get to. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it's a verse that says, "And your ears will hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." I believe that that's what God is doing in our life today. I believe that God never stops speaking to us. It's just a matter of whether or not we're listening to him or we're hearing him. But when God says, "This is the way to walk in it, to the right or to the left, go straight, go right, go left, whatever way it's going, there, it says that there's this voice from behind us saying, this is the way, walk. In other words, when we walk closely with God, when we're walking stride for stride with what God is doing in our life, when we're paying attention to the voice of God, when we're walking with God at a pace that we can hear him, he then directs our paths. Leonard Ravenhill has a great quote where he says, smart men walked on the moon. Daring men walked on the ocean floor, but wise men walk with God. It's still very true, isn't it? The wisest of people are the ones who walk with God. I want to give you a few ways to walk slowly with God. These are a few things that will help you to be able to navigate what does it look like to actually walk with God. In Psalm 63, verse 1 to 4, it's a great explanation. It says, you are my God. I worship you in my heart. I long for you as I would long for a stream in a scorching desert. I have seen your power and your glory in the place of worship. Your love means more than life to me, and I will praise you. As long as I live, I will pray to you. The psalmist, as he's writing here, is giving us an outline of what it looks like to walk with God. The first thing, and walk slowly with God, it means to walk with God in worship. As we worship God, it sets our pace. When I don't know about you, but I can't just quickly worship God. There's something about worship that causes us to slow down and just to acknowledge who God is. There's this worshipful attitude, this heart of worship that comes before God. And it's not something that you can just go, okay, God, hey, I'm gonna worship. God, you're awesome. All right, now I'm out of here. I'm on to something else. No, there's a timing of this that causes us just to stop and to slow down. Remember, the psalmist says, I worship you, and in my heart I long for you as I would long for a stream in a scorching desert. Do we have that longing in our worship that my heart longs for God just as much as if I was out in a desert dying of thirst and wanted a brook of water to come by and to walk by? Like, that's the kind of worship that caused me just to rest in his presence. Walking with God is in devotion, and it's in our prayer life. Again, having a constant, consistent devotional and a constant, consistent prayer life really matters. To know what the Word of God says, to spend time with God, to meditate on him. I wonder how many of us have worked into our schedule just times of silence before God. It's a time where we're not in a hurry, a time where we're not rushed, a time where we're not just looking at our watch to get to the next thing. I wonder how much better off we would be if we could build in time with God that is just times of silence, times of just meditation, time to just listen to what God is telling us. Again, this is not something that happens quickly. This is a rhythm of our life. And if we're so busy doing everything from going to work, to school, to the club, to playing sports, to whatever we're doing, right? All these things that are happening in our life, where do we find the time just to slow down and just to listen? The other way that we walk with God is in love. Again, the psalmist says that love is a key to this, where it says, your love, God, your love means more to me than life. And I praise you for that. And as long as I live, I will pray to you. God's love in our life should be the most important thing. And yet I wonder again, how often does God get the least amount of our time in a day or our time in a week that we feel like we're making a sacrifice just to spend a few minutes with God? See, God deserves more than that. It's a pace of life to walk with him. The second area I want to talk about is what does it look like to walk slowly with other people? To walk slowly with people. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 44 to 45, it says, then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. So this is Jesus confronting his disciples, and he makes this profound statement saying, hey, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. You didn't visit me in prison. The disciples are saying, well, hang on, time out, Jesus. We never saw any of that happen with you. And Jesus said, you're right. But you see it happen with all these other people. And how you treat these other people is the same way that reflects how you treat me. Augustine says it this way. He says, what does love look like? Love has the hands to help others. It has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has eyes to see misery and wants. It has the ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of men. This is what love looks like. To walk slowly with people means that you have to care for people. You've heard that a lot this month with Pastor Ken preaching, and at the end of the month with Pastor Doug preaching. You hear a lot how if we don't love people, we're not going to go to them. If we don't love people, if we don't love our community, why would we even go spend time with them? But what would happen again if we learned how to walk with others in community? What would it look like if we had community that we lived and spent time with and walked slowly with other people? Jesus, in the crowd of people, walked slowly. The reason why Jesus was walking slowly was because he knew that the Holy Spirit was going to lead him to somebody somewhere at some time. If Jesus was too busy to get from point A to point B, he would have just walked right past all the people. I mean, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read the Gospels and see how many times Jesus either went out of his way or on his path, stopped for somebody, whether they were blind beggars, whether they were crippled, whether they were a tax collector in a tree, a woman at the well, people walking, demonic people, people who were sick. I mean, everywhere across the board, even the Pharisees, that Jesus would stop constantly walking slowly with people in order to reach them and to minister to them. Every single day of your life, you are walking past people who need what you have. And the Holy Spirit will lead us to the broken mess of humanity if we will just learn to slow down, listen to God, and walk slowly. Part of it is walking with others in community. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, community, well, first of all, starting in church, in small groups, in community life, being around other believers, men of Crossroads Fellowship. This fall, we have a men's ministry breakfast once a month starting in September. That's going to go until May. That is a great opportunity for you and me, for you and I to walk with people in community. So I'm going to call and challenge all the men of the church. Join me on those Saturdays starting in September because it's a way for us to build community. I've already seen in our summer programming, you see many things for our women's ministry, our student ministry, our kids' ministry, young adults, college, everywhere across the board. All these different demographics have opportunities for everybody to build community. Don't do life alone, but walk in community with people. We also have to walk with others in missional outreach. And what I mean by that is it's kind of Jesus' model. Jesus' model was walking through the streets and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead people. So what if we lived our life with the mentality of a missional outreach mentality, that wherever I am, there I am. Wherever I am, that God and his Holy Spirit can lead me and use me to reach people. Again, it's about pace. Slowing down long enough just to sit down and have a meal with somebody and just talk about Jesus with somebody. To talk about discipleship and to walk with somebody in that. So this is how we walk slowly with other people. And the product, I believe, will be the same. The result will be the same as what Jesus saw here in Scripture, that when Jesus walked slowly, miracles happened. People got saved. Amazing things. The dead were risen, right? These are the things that happen. The hope that can be given to people when we walk slowly. The third and final thing I want to talk about this morning is to walk slowly with yourself. This one might be one of the most important ones for you today, to learn how to pace your own rhythm of your own life, to walk slowly. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." In other words, Jesus has called you, he's equipping you, he has a purpose for your life, and Jesus, who started the good thing in your life, will see it to completion. And so, but sometimes we have to walk with ourselves in such a way that we are not outpacing even our own agenda, even our own busyness, that we're slowing down enough. Watchman Nee said, "Each stage of the believer's walk possesses particular hazards. The new life within us wages war against all which opposes its growth. During the physical stage, it is war against sins. In the soulish phase, it is a battle against the natural life. And lastly, on the spiritual level, it is an onslaught against the supernatural enemy." All that to say that every phase of your life, wherever you are right now on your journey with Jesus, every phase has its hazards. The phase of life when we're dying to our fleshly sin, the phase of our life when our soul is being challenged and growing, all the way to our spiritual life, to where there's a raging war against an enemy. Every phase of our life has hazards. And for us to slow down and to grow to where God is calling us to grow, here's a few thoughts under walk slowly with yourself. The first thing is you've got to walk with yourself in grace and forgiveness. Just like you give grace and forgiveness to other people, some of you this morning need to give yourself a little grace and a little forgiveness. Some of you this morning are coming out of probably the hardest 2 to 3 years of your life, and to give yourself not an excuse, but to give yourself some grace and some forgiveness, to forgive yourself and to show your own self-grace. Sometimes we're our own worst critics and we're hardest on ourselves than anybody else, but if we are going to walk slowly with ourselves, then we have to extend ourselves that same grace and that same forgiveness. We have to walk with ourselves in discipleship. One of the biggest things that I think is so missed and overlooked is discipleship. Discipleship of becoming more like Jesus, to know his teaching and his ways, to become more and more like him is not fast. It takes time. Maybe one of the greatest things you can do is to slow down and just walk with yourself slowly in a discipleship manner. Just understanding Jesus more. Just knowing his teachings, getting into this Bible, this word of God, to put yourself in a position of spiritual growth in your life. It is not fast. The word that we often use is this word of sanctification, which is a lifelong process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And I believe that that's true. It is a lifelong process. Take it from somebody pushing 50, right? It takes a long time to grow in Christ. It doesn't mean that you're ignorant, and doesn't mean that you don't understand things, but every time I read this scripture, I am learning something new. Every time I sit with somebody in discipleship, I'm learning something new. It takes time to do that. And the last thing about walking slowly with yourself is that walking slowly with yourself will lead to victory in the areas of your life. Walking slowly with yourself, allowing God to move in your life, will allow you to live victorious. 1 Corinthians 15:57 has been a theme verse for our church since January. It says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The way that you and I get victory in Jesus is when we walk slowly with God, we walk slowly with other people, and we walk slowly with ourselves, to understand that the pace of our life to walk with God is such a powerful thing. To walk with God in order to know him, to walk with God in worship and in love, to walk slowly with people in order to see God do miracles and missional outreaches and life and community together, to walk slowly with ourselves, to give ourselves grace and to give ourselves mercy, to give ourselves forgiveness, to grow in discipleship, to live a victorious life. Church, my prayer for us as we are in the middle of summer right now, and I close with this, is that you would find a rhythm of your life right now in the middle of summer that would allow you to walk slowly with God, to not outrun him, to not run in a different direction. That you would find a rhythm of life to walk slowly with people in your life. There's people in your life that need you, right? They need what you have. There's people at your company, in your neighborhood, in your own families, in your schools, that need somebody like you to model Jesus and just relax and walk slowly, listening to the Holy Spirit lead them and direct them to the hurting people in our life. And my prayer is that you will find the opportunity to walk slowly with yourself, to just breathe, to breathe in, to breathe out, to find time to just meditate on God's word, to find time for God to speak to you, to find time to actually study his word, to know his word, to find time to live a victorious life that he's calling us to live. But with that, I want to close my part of the service with just reciting the blessing over you. And here we are, July 17th, and I'll be back in the pulpit preaching in the first Sunday of August. And I already got a message for us that I've been working on for a while on that's going to be, I believe, real challenging, but also an encouragement to you as we finish out the summer. And then we go back in the fall. But if you would, just where you're seated right now, would you just close your eyes, whether you're at Millbrook, at Wake Forest, online, wherever you're watching, and would you just put your hands out and just receive this from me this morning? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.